Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yes, you XC beasts. Welcome along to another Retro Press X to continue. Now, this is the place where we share classic episodes of the podcast from days gone by when it used to live on a different platform. Now, this episode, we're taking you back in time to April 2021. This was when the funeral of the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, husband of Queen Elizabeth II, of course, was taking place. A very historic moment in British history. Kanye West's Nike Air Yeezy 1 prototypes, they were sold, those trainers, for a record $1.8 million in a private sale at Sotheby's. I wonder what they're worth now. That was interesting. That was happening back then. I remember they tried to set up a 12-team European Super League in football. Well, that was all kicking off, or at least trying to kick off at this time. Very controversial that was. So all of that was happening in sort of broader society. On Press X, we had Jason Manford on, the comedian and presenter. He was talking about how games are trying to be funny and whether they work or not. So sit back and enjoy this episode and a bit of time travel to April 2021. If I'm a bit out of sorts today, Ainel, it's because I'm not in the home studio, aka my living room.
Where are you, bro?
I'm in a hotel, and it's a bit weird being back in a hotel again after so long.
I'd forgotten how bad hotel curtains are, and I don't know why that stuck with me, but the curtains in your room are despicable.
Is it the colour scheme? Is that what
it's
it is?
The colour scheme and the fact they go from ceiling to floor like a wall.
No, well, Glenn
oh, hi,
Moore,
by the way. Hi, yeah. Hi.
Also with us this week, and you've been putting it to the test with some co-op gaming as well.
Yeah, also playing It Takes Two with my girlfriend. And last year, the company's previous game, A Way Out, was one that my girlfriend did as I was desperately trying to finish 100 games last year. And so we it was the final game we did last year, so we were trying to finish it before midnight. Ooh. So that really puts a relationship to the test.
So some thoughts on how to navigate this this tricky path in a bit. And then finishing off our party is Twitch streamer Rage Darling. And Rage, you have got a big job today.
I do, and I'm really excited.
I know, it's finally your turn to put a selection into the special place that is the Press X Hall of Game. How are you feeling?
I've been waiting for this day since season one, episode one. I'm prepped, I'm ready.
I feel like you're going to blindside us and just whack in like Roller Coaster Tycoon or something like that. I'm
For people who have listened to us from the beginning, they're going to have their preconceived thoughts that it's you're likely to put World of Warcraft in. I mean, you know, it's the thing you love, but who knows? It's your choice. The power is in your hands. Who knows which way you're going to go?
Yeah, she's going to put in Final Fantasy 14, isn't it? She's going to blindside everyone.
Well, we'll definitely be trying to guess what you put in before we find out your choice later on. And, you know, on this, lots of people will no doubt react one way or the other when you choose. And please, for people who have been listening and messaging us, it's brilliant to see all your comments. Keep them coming in. Hashtag Press X to continue. Now, we had this from Chris on Twitter this week because we had to switch up our release schedule a bit last week and put the pod out on a Thursday, not Tuesday as usual. It even confused Rage because you messaged me, didn't you? Be like, where's the
pod stuff going this week? It's my Tuesday morning coffee entertainment.
What's your Tuesday morning coffee?
For nothing.
It's Chris. We had this message from. He said, just said, where's this week's podcast? It's my Tuesday night ritual. So I'm sorry that we ruined your Tuesday night routine, Chris. We promise it won't happen for the rest of the series. But he did say he ended up playing Oddworld Soulstorm instead. So it's not all that bad.
Steph, I'm thinking people are going to sleep listening to us.
I'm taking that as an insult that people are falling asleep.
Actually, you know, you mentioned it. That's not a good thing.
6 a.m. Whack it on, wake up to it, you know?
So let's get into some news then. The big stuff that's happened since we were last together is the news that E3 is back. So for people who don't know, E3 is like an event that happens every year. It didn't happen last year because COVID. But it's in LA. It's in the sunshine amidst the palm trees where all the big gaming companies turn up. And they, in one week, announce everything that's worth knowing. So it's where in the past you know, the PlayStation 4 we saw for the first time, the Wii U, you know, the Halo franchise was announced there. You know, it's a big moment in the gaming world. It went away last year. A couple of companies have stopped interacting with it, so PlayStation don't bother anymore, and EA the same. A lot of people thought it's the end of this thing in the gaming world. It's sort of become important over the years.
I've always wanted to go to E3. It's one of the gaming expos I never managed to get to. And I, when I was younger, I used to remember just like, look, that whole week of games and like trying to log in on the internet and trying to check out all the new videos and the different conferences. Basically, I was nerding out. It was like a gamer's dream,
yeah.
All the latest releases. And then like me and my friends would jump on Xbox Live and talk about the different games whilst we're playing a game together.
I'm looking forward to it as like a deadline for companies to actually announce stuff is going to happen, because we're still in this vague period of the year where so many games... Last year, whilst in the middle of COVID, we're saying this is going to be coming in 2021, and then we haven't heard anything since. It would be nice to see, hopefully, you know, release dates rather than new games we haven't even heard of being announced. I'd like to see the release dates for existing games we're looking forward to, like Far Cry 6 getting a concrete date, or Horizon Zero Dawn,
yeah.
Or God of War Ragnarok, things like that, what we just haven't really heard from quite a while. Because I've never had the chance to go to... E3, I think the closest I had was going to the PlayStation Experience in Earl's Court when I was about 10, where I remember playing Hitman 2 and Turok and Blazing Squad perform for reasons I'll never understand.
Yeah!
And we just don't have the same thing over in the UK, so I really, like, I am so excited. I'm so excited about E3 this year.
What about those Crossroads? Oh, come on. Glenn, you were singing it, you know you were.
Speaking of Crossroads, Rage, see what I did there? Oh, come on. Speaking of Crossroads, though, Rage, it is interesting. If this event works, then it means we might still have E3 in the future. Microsoft are going to be there making announcements, Ubisoft, Nintendo.
Obviously, was kind of disappointed that it didn't go ahead last year. But the year before, like, I was writing down notes for, like, all my friends. We were chatting about it. And because, like, when a big event like this comes up, it's a good talking point. When you go on stream and then talk to about it to like your friends and your viewers, because everyone has an opinion about what gets announced. And I don't see how E3 Online is going to fail, because like over the past year and a half, so many events that were physical in person have now turned online.
Do you know what? I agree with Rage, actually, because like I know like some of the other like cons are online, like some of the Steam ones, and what they do is they release like demos or trials for the game so people can try out the latest games that have been announced. It would be nice if this year we do get a similar thing where they drop some demos on the PlayStation Store or the Xbox Store for us to check out to see, well, ooh, these new games are coming, but here's a little taster. Would be nice.
Yeah, now we don't know what exactly Sony are going to do yet. They're not down to be appearing at E3, but usually in a physical space, they do something, you know, themselves around the same time or that sort of thing. So we'll wait and see what happens. For me personally, I think E3 is really important because it does get games news in the eyes, in the faces of people who don't normally look for it. And I think that's really, really important. And I have been lucky enough to go 3 or 4 times.
Ooh.
And it's so much fun. It's such a brilliant place. And what was amazing about the last year, when it was a physical thing, is that you had fans there as well. And so you got to get a sense of there's like a buzz in these rooms where people are seeing stuff and playing stuff for the first time.
I'm jealous.
And I have to say, yeah. it was really good, and I do miss it, but hopefully it will still have a place.
You know, the closest I've ever been to one of those is, this is showing my age, the Future Entertainment Expo they used to do at Earl's Court back in the 90s. And they used to have a Sega bus where you could get on the bus. It was like a little double decker on it. And on the top deck, there'd be like Sonic 2 that you could play on the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wow. I was a young boy. But yeah, that's the closest I've ever been to like one of those.
That's so cute.
Oh, no, thank you.
Right then. So we've already teased it a little bit. It's the relationship. I'm not going to say breaker because that's not fair. It's a game called It Takes Two. It's a co-op game that will test out your relationship with friends, loved ones, other half. You can get it for about £35 on your PC, the PlayStations and the Xboxes. Now, Einar, you've been playing it for someone who's missed the boat. I know we've teased this game before. We've talked about it briefly a couple of times, so people know that you're excited about it. Mm-hmm. What is it?
Well, this is one of my most anticipated games of this year. It Takes Two is a story about Cody and May and their marriage. Their marriage is on the rocks. They have a young daughter. And they're basically on the verge of divorce. And the game starts with them telling their daughter that they're getting a divorce. They're splitting up because things ain't right between them anymore. And the little girl, she goes off to her room and she cries. And she cries magical tears over these little figurines that she's created of her parents. And what happens is their souls kind of get transported into these figurines. And it's up to Cody and May to kind of work together to repair their marriage.
It sounds intense. I'm not going to lie to you.
It is.
It sounds intense.
It starts off...
It's got the intensity of like a Pixar film. It's like the beginning of Up, isn't it? And the whole thing then feels like a Pixar film because it deals with what is ostensibly a serious issue in people's sort of personal lives, but is done in just the most fun way. It's so fun.
I will say, like, what I love about this game the most, I've probably talked about this before, is how the game mechanics play into the story and how you cooperate with each other to solve the puzzles and get through the game.
It's got the mechanics of like a 20-year-old platformer, basically. But it's just, it feels almost rare to find a game that is that geared towards you having fun at all times. Mm-hmm. That's like what the main focus is. There's no grinding, there's no work, there's no effort. It's all really quite simple. You end up dying a lot and getting loads of game overs, but it's always fun. And what's interesting is each level involves you picking up a new skill, your partner picking up a new skill, like she'll be wielding a huge hammer and the guy will be wielding loads of nails, and you need to use both those abilities together. And over the course of a level, you develop those abilities, and then it all comes together in a boss fight that then tests your abilities that you've learned in that level. Then you move on to a new level, you both get a different skill.
And start again.
But it's just so, so fun. And because it is so lighthearted and silly, like a Pixar film, it removes that tension and anger that can come with playing co-op with a friend, with a partner, anything like that, and having playing a game where you're relying on someone else.
There's so many frustrating moments that can come up, but then it's alleviated by little mini games that you can play against each other, because the entire time you're cooperating with each other, and then throughout the story you bump into these mini games where you can have little versus moments where it's you versus your partner just for fun, and then you can progress in the story. It's really nice.
You guys have really sold it to me. Like, we enjoyed A Way Out a lot, and we also managed to somehow complete Overcooked 2 without, you know, falling out.
That's a feat.
That is a feat.
My girlfriend.
I don't know how, considering he, you know, back when in his 20s, he was a FIFA-fueled, angry rage, right? He was just like a ball of rage. And over the years, he's just really mellowed out. But the only time it really comes out is cooperative games. So I'm like, do I want to dip my toes in and, you know, risk a potential relationship breakup and become It Takes Two, literally?
I can't imagine which bit I've played so far would cause anyone to divorce or murder each other at all.
Oh, there was one bit for us.
Oh, really?
there was one bit we were stuck on for half an hour, and it was like,
Gosh.
What do we think the critics said?
From what these guys have said, actually, and from like what I've seen on Twitch and stuff, I'd probably say it's doing really well, about 87.
I'd say about 85. I think about 85. 85. Ooh, I will say real quick, I love to congratulate companies that do this. This game comes with a friend's pass that only one person has to buy the game. And then you can just invite anyone you want to play with, and they download the game and they can play with you for free.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool, isn't it? 85 on the Metacritic. It might have had an impact on that score as well. What are you saying, Glenn?
I think lower, only because I loved A Way Out and that didn't get the best reviews, and I have a feeling this isn't going to go like, I think it's like 83. I think critics really enjoyed it but probably didn't go like crazy for it.
Tell you what, no party poppers this week.
Oh,
what a shame. Nobody's got it. So the Metacritic score on the PS5 was 88. So, Rage, you were close. 88.
Oh, gosh, that's... I was going to say 80, 87, 88, but then you're like, one number only, Rage.
I need one number. Now, what I'd like you to do now is, and this is a bit of a harsh question, but anyway, let's carry on. So, who, if you had to pick someone from a WordPress X to continue podcast family, who you would least like to have on your team for playing It Takes Two, who would it be, starting with you, Inel, and you can't all say me?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Some of you can, but not everyone. Otherwise,
I'd probably say Shay. I think we'd probably butt heads, but I think we'd get through the game. I think we'd butt heads a lot while we're playing it.
Okay. So your least favourite for It Takes Two would be Shay. Glenn, who are you saying?
I'm saying Inel. I know I'm saying you, and it's only because... we played Warzone together months back, and you'd like never played it before, and you just showed the rest of us up, and you were too good at it, and it actually bothered me. If you're going to play a co-op game, you've got to come all the way down to my level.
Okay? All right, okay.
Okay, so Glenn, you've got Einel. Rage, who would you least like to be paired with to play It Takes Two?
Gav. He scares me.
Is this because of the Outrun comment?
Yeah, the
no,
Outrun,
but he... Okay, an angry Welsh man, right? Not my thing. If I get something wrong, he will be... And he's brutal, isn't he? He's so honest. I'm scared of him.
Actually, Stefanus, none of us have said you. Can we all just change our answers to you?
Hey, no, I'm
I just said that to be polite. 100% it's you, of course.
Well, you've made your choice now, you know. You know, Glenn, so... You know
I reckon Steph would let us down on the platforming sections, you know. He would.
Well, I think I'd have to pick Els the Witch, who we've had on the podcast a few times, because... Too busy playing The Sims, you know? She wouldn't be putting any time into practice, and I can't be having that.
I was going to say, who do you reckon the other guys would choose with each other?
Oh, I don't know.
She would choose you, I know.
Yeah. I tell you what, the thought of being on Shay's team if she wasn't happy with you, oh gosh, she'd let you know, wouldn't she?
I love Shay, but I know we'd butt heads when we play.
Well, look, what we might do is we're going to put this out as a poll. Seeing as you know, we've got a good track record with polls now, we might put this out with a poll to see who the listeners think would be the worst team for It Takes Two. So keep an eye out for that. That's going to be online sometime. And let us know what you think of It Takes Two. Did you like it? Right, team, time to take a breather, kick back and have a listen to this. It's me and Einel, we sat down for a brilliant chat with the comedian Jason Manford to talk games. And Einel, we could have been chatting for hours. Just imagine if we'd have actually been in a pub.
Oh, don't tease. Come on.
I know.
I've just got the PlayStation 5.
You're touching a nerve there, because our producer Mike's been trying to get one for, well, since they come out, and he can't get a hold of one anywhere.
Well, so was I, to be honest, and it was getting stupid. You know, they were like going, you know, because all the adverts were coming on. Play has no limits. Oh, well, there is a limit, because I can't get one, can I? So already, your advertising campaign does not work. Because I can't get one. That's my limits, mate. So it was winding me up every time I saw it. And then a couple of mates got them. And I'll tell you the thing that happens. I'm sure you know about this, of course. But sometimes people in the media, they get sent them. Free ones, don't they? Right? And I talk about playing computer games on my radio show, in life, in my stand-up. Not a dicky bird from Sony. Nothing. Right? And I thought, I'm not asking. Because that's like... reality TV level. Like,
yeah, you can't. Asking.
I thought, I'll just leave it, it'll happen. And then I'm watching it. Sterling gets one, and Sterling gets one. I thought, fine, he's big on the TikTok or whatever it is, and he plays, you know, he plays FIFA. He's got all that thing going on. And Chris Ramsey gets one. I think, okay, I mean, I've never heard him talk about computers, but fine, you know, I get it. Then Matt Lucas gets one, and I'm like, hang on. And he literally tweets, "Well, I've never really played computer games before, but thanks to the people at Sony for..." I was like, are you having a laugh here? Anyway, in the end, I thought, I'm not asking for one, because it's too lame, it's too embarrassing. And so I ended up doing that thing that I swore I would never do, which was I went on StockX and I just bought one. I bought one for like 700 quid or so. I don't know what it
is. It you paid the premium?
Paid the premium, some absolute... has got an extra 300 quid out of me, and I'm angry about it, but at the same time, I've got one. So it's a buyer's market, my friend. I can't blame the guy.
Well, big question then. Was it worth, has it been worth the investment so far, do you think?
Is it an investment, is the question. It's not, is it? It's the opposite of an investment. It literally doesn't help you in life. It gets in the way of getting actual work done that you do get paid for. No, is the answer. It's maybe that's why they never send me one.
Maybe they, well, they're not sending you another one.
PlayStation 6 comes out. No, thank you. No, it's great. We've just moved house, and I managed to talk my wife into getting a projector and a big screen.
Oh, have you?
In one of the rooms, yeah. It's great. And so FIFA, I've updated the FIFA up to the new one, and then I just downloaded a couple of games the other day actually, just because I thought I'd better get into this. So Spider-Man, me and my son are playing the new Spider-Man game.
Aynel's a big fan of that. The Miles Morales one, you're big fan of that.
Miles Morales is really fun.
Yeah, that's really good. We're enjoying that at the moment. There was another one that I started playing, but was a bit. It was one of the Resident Evils, and it's actually terrifying.
Yeah, they are. I can't do them, Jason. I'm too much of a scaredy cat. I said this in a podcast before. I've never understood why anybody wants to play a game to be that scared. I don't understand the psychology behind it.
Well, the thing is, you know, these days, when you only have to watch, some of the big games, The Last of Us and stuff like that, where the story is so engrossed and the characters are so well developed because these movie writers have gone, you know, there's no money in Hollywood, I'm going to go write some games. They're coming over, they're writing these games. And like my wife watched The Last of Us as if it was like a TV series. Oh, should we have a game of that tonight? She never touched the control pad once. She just came in and watched the story unfold, like, you know, the first one, and it was great. Both of us crying our eyes out. No! Oh, yeah. And then gradually, you know, and that's not that scary, Last of Us, to be fair, even though it's zombies and whatnot. But the Resident Evil one I bought, was playing that one, and I sometimes play that. Everyone goes to bed. We're in a new house. We're having building work done, so there are like odd noises in that.
Oh, no.
We've got new kittens as well, so this thing's moving. That
scuttling.
Didn't usually move. And so now I'd play like a Resident Evil till about 11:30, and then I'll have 20 minutes of Crash Bandicoot before I go to bed. You can't just go straight to bed from... I'm like, right, 20 minutes of Sackboy.
See, if anyone didn't know what you were talking about, like 20 minutes of Sackboy.
Yeah. Mate, when you get to my age, it does not take 20 minutes.
Jason, like, are you more of a like a single player person when it comes to playing video games, or do you like going online, trash talking, talking to or playing with friends?
Well, it's a funny one that, because I like to go online and play games. So occasionally with FIFA, for example, I'll pop online, and but what they need to do at FIFA is they need to invent Dad FIFA, right? And this is a different section of the game away from people who are playing it for 22 hours a day. You know what I mean? Because you can't compete with these people. No point, you know.
So you're more like Sunday League, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
Sunday morning.
Exactly. And also...
Vets FIFA.
Yeah, exactly. And so at some point, you know, you're halfway through the game, you can pause it and you can say to the guy, mate, one of my kids has just fallen off a trampoline. Do you mind just, like, can we quit this without you taking some of my points off me? Yeah, no worries, mate. Those things happen. Like, that sort of thing I need. Not someone doing kick-ups from the halfway line and rainbow flicks and volleying it into the top corner, and he's playing, you know, with someone rubbish and I'm Barcelona or something. You know, I can't. It's not good for your soul.
So, Jason, in terms of, like... you acquiring like your knowledge of your games or the games that you're going to play, where do you kind of go to kind of find out which game you're going to go to next? Because you've, as you've already spoken about, you've played like a whole vast range of different video games.
Yeah.
Where do you kind of find your knowledge and where do you kind of go to kind of...
don't know really. I mean...
other than the Press X to Continue podcast and BBC Sounds, of course.
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously this is the first place I'd done it.
Of course, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit, you know, a bit basic really. I go off word of mouth, of course, if somebody mentions a game that I think sounds pretty good, and then generally just, you know, I'll if I'm a bit bored, I'm not a new game for a while. Even those PlayStation games that I bought the other day, I literally just Googled what are the must-have PlayStation games. You know what I mean? What's everyone else playing, sort of thing, and they come up. But things like Red Dead Redemption, like I was looking forward to that coming out, and I actually had. I posted about it on Twitter at the time, but I had because I was on tour at the time. I was on my stand-up tour, and then I went straight into a musical tour. And there's a lot of waiting around in these tours. So I actually had a sort of portable PlayStation sort of case put together.
Oh,
there was
nice.
A company in Manchester put a big flight case together. So, you know, it's like really like sturdy. And you flip it open, it's got a 32-inch screen on one side of it, and all the wires are tucked behind, and it's all sort of foam there. Nice. And the PlayStation was there, and all the games lined up and the thing. So I'd had that at every venue. So I'd get to the venue, and that and our tour manager would have it set up in the dressing room. And
that is, I mean, that is a rider. Nice. You know, I don't care. You know, all these bands and DJs with jazzy requests for champagne from certain parts of the world. No. I want a PlayStation in a suitcase.
That's exactly what it was. And it was great because obviously at home with the kids and family and stuff like that, especially when I've been away, the last thing you can do is when you get home, you go, "Hi, everybody. Let's go have a quick game of Red Dead Redemption."
Disappear for 2 hours.
I don't know. I jumped off because I was thinking about that when you were talking about Football Manager in one of your stand-ups before. That idea of you dressing up in a suit for a final in Football Manager. That's so... I used to, if I ever got to a big final, whether it's in Master League on Pro Evo or Football Manager or FIFA, I used to, you know, go make a cup of tea, get settled, get into the space. You've got to get in the zone, Jason.
Me and my mates, so I remember as a teenager, so I just finished my GCSEs that summer. It's a really long summer, isn't it? It's first long summer because you finish sort of in the June time. And me, my friend Simon Pickering and Paul Tarpey. Paul had a flat. He was 16. He already had a flat.
Oof, wow.
I know.
And he's the cool kid there, isn't he?
Yeah,
definitely.
He's the guy. And we spent the summer at his flat playing Football Manager pretty much 8 to 10 hours a day. Just on a little circuit. And you would have to do things like, you know, it was like transfers. So you go, right, you two go out while I do my transfers. And then you like swap back and forth. And we'd to a point where we would be like, I remember I was Grimsby and I hunted around Manchester City Centre to find a Grimsby football top. Like, and this, you know, so this is days before Amazon and online shopping and stuff. Like, you had to go out and find, go to JD Sports. Can you get me one? Are you mental? Yeah. I actually am a little bit. Yeah. And, you know, and so we really took it serious and we played it an awful lot. And so it was a natural thing, really, I guess, because obviously a stand-up comic, you talk about what you know and what you do. And I was young when I started stand-up. I was only 17. So, yeah, I guess by sort of early 20s, I had this big routine about Football Manager, which, incidentally... the guys, Miles Jacobson at Football Manager, still mentions that in a lot of his interviews, because it was the first time when I did that on Live at the Apollo and Edinburgh Festival, it was the first time he realised his game had entered the social conscience and had become a reference point. Because when you become a reference point to comedians... That because we are only talking about things that audiences get, because we live or die on whether you understand what we're saying. Once you've entered that level, then you're on a winner. So I remember him coming to see the show at Edinburgh before I'd even done it on Live at the Apollo, and I think I ended up getting like a mention in the game a few times, and they created a. In a couple of the things, there's a player called Jason Manford in the lower leagues.
No way.
Who I always buy, and who is always absolutely dog poo. but I can't help it. I'm like, yes, he's up front with Aguero. Shut up, assistant manager. I believe in this kid.
It's got potential.
And again, full circle. So I used to do this routine, and I talk about... Being on playing Football Manager, I used to talk about my girlfriend at the time, who was just like, "What? It's just clicking. It's not even a real game. It's just you're clicking. It's just like you're just playing spreadsheets." That's what she says. It's a real game.
It's accurate.
I know.
She's not wrong.
And when you try to describe it to anyone outside of the world of games, they go, "Are you mental? Like, did you actually play it?" I'm like, no, but I watch these guys playing it who are not real, but they are, you know. I remember that on FIFA, there was an incarnation of FIFA where you would start as a player and you would try and break into the first team and then, you know, and you'd sort of follow his career. I remember there's a point where my mum came in and she's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Oh, I'm just waiting for a game." She's like, "What, on your own game? Like, what are you on about?" was like, yeah, I'm
not in the starting 11 yet, man. Come on, I'm working my way up.
Can't get into the first team, you know what I mean? I don't know what it is. Like, what?
You know, my face isn't fit. The manager's falling out with me. I don't know what's going on.
What, in a world that only exists when you turn it on, you can't get a game? How rubbish are you? You are the Lord Almighty of this creation, and you're not getting selected.
On the bench, just in your jacket.
One day, when I I'm going to make an impact when I get out there to these people who don't exist other than my
world. I've got 5 minutes to make it. Yeah, to make a difference here. Come on.
So, and I talked about it online. This is one of my favourite things that's ever happened, actually. So, I told this story. It genuinely happened. I went to a Man City event, a charity event, and I was doing some bit of stand up. And afterwards, I was met the players. I was with my dad, and he's a big City fan. And we meet the players. And on the way home, he says to me, "You were a bit weird then." I said, "Was I?" He went, "Yeah, you and Micah Richards. Like, I thought you were a bit rude to him." I said, "Was I?" He went, "Yeah." And I thought, I wonder why I was rude to Micah Richards. And then I realised when I got home that night, he kept turning up late for training on Football Manager. And sometimes, I don't know if it still has it on the game, but sometimes he'd have a thing with it. It'd say, "Micah Richards hates Jason Manford." Like, we didn't work together well. And it must have just been in my mind when I met him. Like, he was like, I was all nice to everybody else. And I was like, "All right. Yeah. All right. Billy Big Balls. Yeah. We know who's boss here, mate." And it was only recently, a couple of maybe only about 6 months ago, where I tweeted, because he's great on Sky Sports and that, when he's doing the commentary with Roy Keane. And I said, "One of my favourite things about watching Sky Sports recently is Micah Richards. He's an absolute breath of fresh air." And he retweeted it and he put, "I'm so pleased I'm finally forgiven, Gaffer."
Oh, yes. So obviously it's interesting that, like, you know, games have become part of your stand-up routine, which is, like you said, natural, because it's just such a part of British popular culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that there's room for games themselves to be a bit funnier? Because often, I mean, and you've played we've talked about a whole range of games already now, but they often tend to be a bit on the serious side. And I know, you know, Einel does comedy as well, and so I'm interested in your thoughts on this as well, Einel. It's like, could games be just a bit, have a bit more of a lightness of touch at times?
I think so. I did a live stream over the first lockdown of Broken Sword. I don't know if it...
Broken Sword? They're great games.
And they're really funny. Like, really funny. Some of the moments in that are, you know, proper comedy moments, proper comedy characters.
But they're that's quite old. That's going a bit back now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going really quite far back, you know. And then, there's games that have had a sense of humour to them. You know, I remember playing, like, Worms back in the sort of 90s. Lemmings and stuff like that. You know, there was a sort of humour to the sort of scenario. As far as the narrative of these things are concerned, they don't really. The Lego games are pretty good. The kids play the Lego games. And I guess the Grand Theft Auto, it's dark, but there's certainly humour in some of those early incarnations. Those Sims, I think, is very funny. You know, that kind of moments. But yeah, I mean, you've got to go back to, like I said, Broken Sword, Secret Monkey Island, you know, those sort of point and click games where there was a bit of humour. I had an idea for a game, right, which weirdly, actually, you mentioned it before, but I've had this idea for a while, which is, so it's not a version of FIFA, it's just a brand new game, and it's Sunday League football, right? And rather than everyone being at the top of their tree and top of the game, you've got to pick an 11-a-side team. You've got a guy who's hungover, he can only play 10 minutes.
There's always a couple.
The winger's throwing up after half an hour. You know, there's a central defender whose wife comes to get him and he's now got to look after his kids on the sideline. Like, you're shooting up half one, in uphill one half and downhill the other half. The goals don't match. The ball belongs to somebody else and you've got to give that back. There's other balls coming in from other pitches. And then, this is my other idea, is that then there's little in-games to the game. So you go back to the pub and you play darts and snooker and cards for money. And then that money buys you a better kit that actually fits. And, you know, you've got like an overweight striker who's got no... He's got no pace, but my God, he can bang it into the top corner. He's spot. So, you know what I mean? Rather than playing with the best of the best, you're actually making do with a sort of ne'er-do-wells of football. You know, it's a bit...
Yeah, and there's one guy who had trials for Coventry who was in the midfield who was actually quite decent.
In squad fighting, you've got to have a mini-game with
squad
that.
Squad fighting.
Yeah, the right-back's having an affair with the wingers. Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
You've got to start... It's a driving game at the beginning. You've got to drive around in your van to pick up three or four of the players.
Come on, I'm outside.
Yeah,
I'm over.
You know. Yeah. So it's like loads of different games with Supermonger. I think that could be very funny. I've thought about it for a while.
Any games developers listening?
Yeah, come on board. I'll write the script and we'll get it together.
Me and Einel can do some voices for you.
Absolutely, of course.
That's good. Well, like any developers listening, get in touch. What are we going to call? What can we call? Say, yeah, Sunday League Football is a great
Sunday
name.
Sunday League Football, yeah.
Sunday League.
Damn. Sunday League, yeah.
No, Jason, listen, thank you for the time. I know we're going to have to let you go soon, but we've got this feature that we do every episode where we have been putting in people's. What people think is one of the best games of all time. So we call it it's got a very clever title.
Oh, yeah.
You see, it's a pun. It's called Hall of Game.
Oh, see what you've done there, yeah.
You see what we've done there.
Thanks, Matt. I wonder how many meetings at the BBC you had to have for that.
We had about five or six meetings for that one, I think, to be fair. That was the shortlisted meeting, and then we took it to the board for recommendation, and it took a couple of weeks to go through solicitors, but we've settled on it. But if you had to pick, what's your favourite game of all time? If you had to pick one, if you had to boil it down, would you be your one? I know it's a difficult question. We left the hard ones to last, really.
It's really tough, that, because... You know, I'm older than you two as well. So, you know, I'm from a world pre-computer games as well. So I remember the feeling of the first few. You know, yes, there was Pong and various things like that. But when a proper game like a Pac-Man came out, was pretty impressive. And those times where, you know, that you have moments where you remember the game and how much it meant to you because of what else was going on in your life. You know, I remember having a tough time at school and coming home and just getting lost in Zelda. Mm. You know what I mean? Or, you know, Mario Land or something, Mario World or something like that. So that's what's hard about it. There's emotive moments in games that, you know, that mean a lot to you, whereas they might not technically be the best game ever. So
I think a really retro game we haven't actually got. That's a really interesting point, actually, when you're thinking about the classics of the genre. You know, from right back when, we haven't got any of those in. So if you want to go,
I think the oldest game we probably got is Street Fighter.
Well, I'm actually going to go older than that, and this is a game that I remember playing with my brothers, and again, it was the first time that we almost could play a two-player game as well. And we weren't against each other. We were on the same side. And I must have been about 12 or 13, Streets of Rage.
Hey,
oh my God, you have a t-shirt. No way, I didn't even see that.
Come on,
that's
Jason.
That's hilarious. Both games I've mentioned and they're on your t-shirt. That's hilarious.
Oh, yes, Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage.
I knew. I felt it.
Did you feel me describing it?
Yeah, it's funny because this it's so funny that this happens, right? Because you know, like sometimes a couple of episodes ago, we were talking, just having a chat, and Streets of Rage came back up again, and we were saying how some people have, you know, for some people, it's such an important game to them, isn't it? Yeah. And I'll ask you why, you know, in a second. It's like, but for some people, it totally passed them by. But it's on Einel's t-shirt, and you
That's
picked
so
it.
Weird.
It's so weird.
Like Darren Brown, me.
It was subliminal. It was there all along, Jason.
To people listening, he has also got an M&S cardigan on over it. I didn't actually see it.
Einel's yin and yang. He's hip on one side, and he's
I like it.
Cardi the other.
My kind of guy.
So why Streets of, you know, why that one then, Jason? Why did that one pop up for you?
I think, like I said, I think it was just a time in my life where. We actually lived in Ireland for a little while when I was at that age, and there was something going on. I never really got to the bottom of it. I think there was some family problems going on in our extended family. And so we were like sent away a little bit to sort of be away from whatever was going on at home. And so we went and lived in Ireland. And so we didn't know anybody. We suddenly, all our friends were at home. We had nobody other than each other, just me and my brothers. And we were all about the same age, three of us. And we met some cousins over there, and they had this game. And we were—I mean, not to get the Hovis music out—but we were poor, and we didn't have any computer games or anything like that at home. It wasn't something we sort of did. And they had I guess it would it have been like the Master System or something, or like the
Mega Drive maybe?
It might have been the Mega Drive, yeah.
Mega Drive.
And they had Streets of Rage 2, I think. And we played it. I just remember staying up long after we were supposed to. My Auntie Bernie would be like, right, sleep now. We'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. She used to go to sleep at 8:30. Absolute sucker. And we used to sneak into my cousin's bedroom, and a lot of us would play it like, I just remember laughing and chatting and really getting to know these cousins who we're still like best friends with now, you know?
Yeah.
So it just has that, I think there's a nostalgia moment. I often say it about films as well. They might not necessarily be the most technically gifted of films or games in this instant, but they put you back into a moment of joy. And what are games other than to bring joy? That's Streets of Rage, even though you were battering people. But to be fair,
you were baddies.
Yeah, you were police officers, so you were the... Yeah,
it was fine. Yeah. It was fine.
Loosely.
Yeah. I mean, loosely.
Off duty.
They certainly weren't... It didn't look like official training.
Well, they have remade it. Well, not remade it. They've made Streets of Rage 4, which you can play on the Switch.
Okay.
So you can go back and you know, if you want to feel that nostalgia.
It is very good, yeah. It is.
I think I might.
And I guess it's true what you say. It does kind of cement those memories in your mind, doesn't it? When you attach certain video games to those kind of landmark moments.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody that's probably listening to this right now, they probably can think of a game that has that same effect on them as well.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And like I said, it's an escapism from the real world. That's what games are. That's why they're so popular. And if you can find something that's slightly social as well, you can play with someone else. So you're not just by yourself in your room, then happy days.
Yeah, spot on from Jason. That was Jason Manford. Lovely to have him on the pod with us. Streets of Rage, a great choice as well. And it's a bumper episode this week because we've got two Hall of Game picks. Rage is finally getting to choose one as well. But before we get to that, that conversation got me thinking, right? Mm. Games don't do funny very well, do they?
No.
Or do they? I don't know. I don't think games do funny very well. And I was just thinking to myself, if only we had some comedians on the podcast who could also talk to us about that. And luckily for us, we've got two. So what do you think? Am I right, Glenn?
I have thoughts about this. The bar for video game humour is so astonishingly low. And to the point where it kind of... It doesn't irritate me that it's there, but it irritates me when it's sort of held in high regard. Or because the bar is so low that if a game does like one decent line, then suddenly it's elevated as being like, it's laugh a minute, but like there's written humor in games, and then there's a humor coming from like how the game is being played. So I think Fall Guys is a hilarious game, not through any writing or anything like that, but it's how it's designed, it's what it looks like, and the chaotic situations you end up getting involved in, so you end up sort of laughing. That sort of thing is really fun. Rocket League can be really funny in the same way. So can Call of Duty. Basically, multiplayer stuff is funny by its nature because it's you communicating with your friends. But outside of that, I think there was like a decent run on the PlayStation 1 in that era of like Grim Fandango and Abe's Odyssey that actually were quirky and funny, but it was like the quirkiness was doing a lot of the heavy lifting. But beyond that, like video game humor is usually just a character like Crash Bandicoot going, I guess that didn't go well. And like that's what it amounts to. And you go, well, that's not a joke. Is it like you're being lighthearted, but that's not a joke. And like Uncharted, Drake could be a bit irritating at times. But that's regarded as like a funny game because he says whoa quite a lot. I'm only saying this by nature of my job, but like joke writing is a specific skill that takes time to like develop, and there's a big difference between someone being like the office funny person and actually like writing good stuff. Those are very different skills, and there aren't really many comedians who are like involved in the making of video games. So I found that I was playing a couple of more like text-based video games last year, stuff like Necrobarista and stuff like that, which I thought was like quite a sweet game. But it was quite sort of like Joss Whedon-esque, where they're like they're putting in as many light-hearted bits as they can, but it's in the absence of actual sort of jokes. So they would consider a joke would be a character says like, I didn't store the cookies, I didn't store the cookies. And then there's a pause and then they go, okay, I totally store the cookies. And you go, well, that's not a joke, is it? That's not... Mm. But that would then be reviewed as like, oh my God, you'd be rolling on the floor crying. And it's like...
Wait till you get to the cookie bit. That's exactly what it means.
But it's low, it's really low. And so as a result, it is really surprising. I remember one line in Uncharted 2 making me laugh out loud, and that was just so... And I remember laughing harder than I would have done if that was on a TV show, because it was just like, oh my God, that was a funny, like, written bit of dialogue.
Grand Theft Auto 5, man. Trevor. Yeah. Like, every single dialogue that came out of that character's mouth pretty much had me rolling on the floor. Like, he's just... But I think it comes with the character. Like, he was lovable. And so whenever I did the missions with him, it just made me laugh all the time.
I completely agree on the Trevor front. I think Trevor was a really decent character in a series that I previously found genuinely unfunny. Do you know what I mean? I love GTA, but usually it was like with GTA, what we did is they try to change everything they could into a bit of humor, which means you end up getting no humor. So in like, I remember really specifically GTA 4, which was the one set in Liberty City, which was basically New York.
The comedy clubs.
They had the comedy clubs, but outside of that, it was stuff like, it was like really rubbish attempts at humor. Like instead of the MetLife building, they changed up to the Getter Life building. And that stuck in my head as like, that's crap. That's really, it's just really naff.
Like Glenn's hit the nail on the head in terms of, it's usually the scenarios that the characters find themselves in are quite absurd and things. Because when I think of a funny game, I think of Yakuza Like a Dragon or many of the Yakuza series. And they're hilarious. But it's usually the scenarios in which the main characters find themselves in.
Because gaming does some things really well. It does action really well. It does tension really well. It does horror really well. But I think comedy is something, as we've discussed, that it's not fantastic. I tell you what, sex in games is usually pretty, pretty corny and pretty rubbish as well, isn't it? It's another sort of thing that they fail to do.
There's the segue.
Yeah.
I think it's because up until fairly recently, that sort of level of story felt a bit, I don't know, gratuitous anyway. And that, you know, you're more likely to focus on the game for the gameplay than the cutscenes sort of around it. So it's difficult to sort of invest yourselves as emotionally in that. And it is awkward by its nature to watch a animated sexy...
I'm not just saying I want to see more, but you know,
we'll deal with this like seriously and just go, right, let's get the absurdity out of the way of what we're discussing about.
I don't think you guys will be able to have a serious conversation about this. You're all smirking.
But it's...
I'm here, like, thinking of actual... Cyberpunk did it well.
Last of Us 2 did it really well. But then you sort of think something like... I think games have matured in the last few years, and so you'd sort of imagine if there was a... In the most recent God of War, if there'd been a sex scene in that, that would have been dealt with well. But in the first God of War, it was a mini game where you had to rotate the analog sticks.
Yeah.
And that's embarrassing. That's really embarrassing to think about. Writing in video games is generally weaker than in TV and film, just in general. Of course, there are amazing examples of really, really great writing in terms of dialogue and realistic dialogue. But I remember playing one of the Walking Dead games a few months back, and my girlfriend walked into the room, and she was like, she went, "How is it that I'm not even looking at the TV, but I can tell from the dialogue you're not watching a TV show? I can tell what I'm listening to is video game dialogue, even though it was a cutscene." And it was like, oh, actually, it is, for the most part. It is difficult because it's got to balance two separate... Video games have got to balance two separate things. It's you playing the game and them telling you something. And you don't want to fall into that Hideo Kojima trap of like MGS2 where it's just them throwing hours and hours and hours and hours of cutscenes at you. But I think that's the only way in which a sex scene would sort of work, I think. I think the interactivity is, I think what makes a sex scene seem really immature in a video game. If you as a player have any part in that, then it's just... It's embarrassing and it's weird.
Well, what do you think about funny games, sex scenes in games? What do games do badly? What have games got to get better at? Let us know. Hashtag press X to continue. Right then. So the moment has finally come.
Yeah.
This is the a podcast. Nobody can see what I'm doing with my hands here, but I'm creating the orb of press X to continue power.
Copying the orb of X.
that doesn't sound right, does it?
You're still that stuck on right. The last segment, are you?
Can we cut that bit out? can we cut this?
Anyway, this hotel room over there. There he is.
The power of Press X to Continue's Hall of Game, the prestigious, the world famous, the exclusive club that is the Press X to Continue Hall of Game.
Pass me the ball, Stefan.
I've passed you the ball. The ball has been passed.
Thank you. It's a nice ball. Thank you.
So, Einel, is Rage going to pick World of Warcraft or is she going to pick something different? What do you think?
I think she'll pick World of Warcraft, personally. it's a game that resonated with her, like most of her gaming life. And I think if she was to overlook
okay,
it,
okay, she can give
else,
the spiel.
That...
She can give the spiel.
Okay,
she
yeah, the spiel. Yeah.
Glenn, is Rage going to pick World of Warcraft, or is she going to pick something else?
I think World of Warcraft because, in my opinion, it deserves to be in there. But also, that I've never known anyone to be more passionate about a single game than Rage is about World of Warcraft. So I think it will be. I want it to be.
Okay, Rage, are you going to do the obvious thing and pick World of Warcraft? Are you going to pick another game? The ball is in your court.
So, obviously this is a podcast, so you can't actually see it, but for this special moment, I decided to don every single apparel from this game I physically could find in my wardrobe. A shirt, a jacket, leggings, and socks. So I'm choosing... It has to be World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
In the Hall of Games.
Yeah, congratulations to World of Warcraft.
I love the fact we was all looking on the cover.
I know,
like,
I don't know what you're going to Like, this podcast taking a dark twist this week, isn't it? Well, Rage, I mean, it would be remiss of us not to give you an opportunity to say why World of Warcraft deserves a place in the Hall of Game. It is a title that's had such a massive impact, isn't it?
I wanted to pick something else just to prove to you guys that I can think independently. And I do have other games that I think deserve to go in. And it was hard, genuinely, but I had to go with WoW because it's a franchise that spanned over, 40 years? It's a franchise that has made games in multiple different areas of the media. And ultimately, WoW has been going, World of Warcraft specifically, for 17 years. 2004 it came out, quick math. Mm. It's such a massive game, and it's brought so much, not just to me, but like millions across the world. It's a staple MMO RPG. So I had to choose it.
Can't argue with that.
No, you can't really, can you? To be fair, it had such an impact. So many other games tried to copy it. And, you know, it spawned movies, it spawned apparel you're wearing it all, and so all sorts, and other games off the back of it, Hearthstone, all these other sort of bits and pieces that have come off the back of it.
South Park, I'd never seen a TV episode of anything about a video game before.
Yeah.
And it was so good. The South Park episode was so good. Like, I rewatched it recently.
So there we have it, World of Warcraft in the Hall of Game, joining Streets of Rage in there from this week. What do you think of these choices then? Get in touch with us. Has Rage made the right decision? On social media, you can find us, #PressX to continue. But congratulations to World of Warcraft joining the PressX Hall alongside some of the best games ever made. So there we have it. Thank you very much for sticking around until the very end. We are loving your dedication. We will see you on Tuesday for the next episode of PressX. And remember to find us on social media, PressX Pod, PressX Podcast, and get in the Discord as well. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.